Grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you as we gather together on this Sunday. This is the last Sunday of the Christian year, or I should say the next to last Sunday of the Christian year. Next week will be Christ the King Sunday, and the week after that we will begin the season of Advent. But we are grateful that we are here this morning to worship and praise the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Just have a few announcements to make. First of all, we had a wonderful time yesterday with the at the Presbyterian Women's Gathering. Alice Hughes was there. For those of you who were there, know that it was a very informative time that was had. Many people had questions for her, and we just give God thanks for her. Give God thanks that for her work and her ministry among people who are often in need of her services. So we give God thanks that she was able to be here with us yesterday. The Fall Mission Project this year for the Presbyterian Women is an adopted Christmas family, and at their gathering on Saturday, yesterday, they began collecting paper goods, monetary donations to assemble a basket for the family that will be adopted for Christmas. The family is known to one of the PW members and consists of a single mother who has been undergoing treatment for breast cancer and who also has two girls ages 17 and 8. So they are in the process of collecting paper products and other monetary donations. If the Lord puts it on your heart to donate and to be a part of that, you can contact Pat McEwen or Angel Gertler or Robin Ford or Fluff McEwen. The annual congregation and corporation meeting will be Sunday, December the 12th, following worship, so please put that down on your calendars. Annual congregational meeting, very important meeting, and we have it once a year, but it's going to be December the 12th. So please have your annual reports due no later than Wednesday, November the 30th. Next Sunday, we will be having the Alney Presbyterian pre-Thanksgiving dinner. We are seeking donations for that, so it will be after worship on 11:20, which is next Sunday. Please look for more information from the outreach committee for that. As I said earlier, donations are being sought for that, either donations of food items or donation of money. You can see Franklin Daniels for more information about that or questions that you have about that. I know last year Franklin did a lot of the cooking and the preparing of the meal. Well, I see a hand, Howard.
Just desserts.
Yep. Okay. All righty. Just desserts. You heard that. Just desserts or monetary donations will be welcome. And again, you can see Franklin Daniels, or I guess Howard's been working on that too, so you can see him for more information about that as well. Other things will be going on here at Alney Presbyterian Church as the new Christian year gets cranking. Please make sure that you read your church bulletin. Also go to our church website so that you can stay abreast of the happenings here at Alney Presbyterian Church. Our first scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke. We'll be reading Luke 21, chapter 21, verses 5 through 19. It's found on page 915 of your pew Bibles. So let us at this time listen to God's word for us. And as some spoke of the temple, how it was adorned with noble stones and offerings, Jesus said, "As for these things which you see, the days will come when there shall not be left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down." And they asked him, "Teacher, when will this be, and what will be the sign when this is about to take place?" And he said, "Take heed that you are not led astray, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am he,' and the time is at hand. Do not go after them. And when you hear of wars and tumults, do not be terrified, for this must first take place, but the end will not be at once. Then he said to them, nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes, and in various places famines and pestilences, and there will be terrors and great signs from heaven. But before all this, they will lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and prisons, and you will be brought before kings and governors for my name's sake. This will be a time for you to bear testimony. Settle it therefore in your minds, not to meditate beforehand how to answer, for I will give you a mouth and wisdom which none of your adversaries will be able to withstand or contradict. You will be delivered up even by parents and brothers and kinsmen and friends, and some of you they will put to death. You'll be hated by all for my name's sake, but not a hair of your head will perish. By your endurance, you will gain your lives. Our Old Testament reading this morning comes from Isaiah. We'll be reading from Isaiah 65, verses 17 through 25, which is found on page 644 and 645 of your Pew Bible. So again, let us listen to God's word for us. For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former things shall not be remembered or come into mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing, and by her people a joy. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and be glad in my people. No more shall be heard in it a sound of weeping and the cry of distress. No more shall there be in it an infant that lives but a few days, or an old man who does not fill out his days. For the child shall die 100 years old, and the sinner 100 years old shall be accursed. They shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat their fruits. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For like the days of a tree shall the days of my people be, and my chosen shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain or bear children for calamity, for they shall be the offspring of the blessed of the Lord, and their children with them. Before they call, I will answer. While they are yet speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox, and dust shall be the serpent's food. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, says the Lord. It's the word of the Lord. Amen. As I said earlier, this is the last Sunday in the Christian year. Next Sunday will be one of my favorite Sundays, Christ the King Sunday. And again, we'll be journeying along the Advent road. But on this Sunday, we are always invited to lean in and hear again God's promises for us, God's promises for the whole world, God's promises for the future. And nowhere else in the Bible is that promise of God's future better articulated than in the book of Isaiah from the prophet Isaiah. One of my favorite paintings is one that depicts the prophet's words. It is called The Peaceable Kingdom by Edward Hicks. It's a copy of the painting is inside of your bulletin. It's a familiar painting, one that I'm sure you've all seen before. Hicks, a Quaker preacher was a Quaker preacher who lived in Bucks County. He painted over 100 versions of the painting before he died, but all of them was inspired by the vision of new creation, the vision that we find in the prophet Isaiah. It's a powerful vision, a vision of God's coming future that has inspired hope in God's people down through the centuries and continues to inspire hope even today. And that is, of course, what God's people were looking for when these words were first uttered by the prophet. They were looking for hope. God's people had been living for decades in Babylonian captivity, and while there, their deepest longing, their deepest desire, their deepest hope was to go back home. To go back home to Judea, to go back home to Jerusalem, to rebuild the temple, to remember how life had been before the captivity. And so they had that deep, deep longing inside of them, the same longing, deep, deep longing we all have, longing for a better world, longing for another world, longing for things to be different. They had that deep longing, and then one day they were told that they could go back, that they could go back to Judea, go back to Jerusalem. And so they went back. But things just weren't the way that they wanted them to be. I'm sure you've all had that experience. You've longed for something, you've dreamed for something, you hoped for something, and maybe when you got it, it didn't live up to what you wanted it to be. And that's what happened when the people of God got back to Judea, got back to Jerusalem. They found that life was hard. They found that the walls of the city were broken. They found that the temple was still destroyed. They worked for years and years and couldn't seem to make things the way they wanted it. The temple was still in disarray. The temple was still broken. The walls were still in disarray. They found that some of the people who had never left Judea resented those who came back. Life was hard. And so they began to live in despair. But it was in the midst of this despair that the prophet gave this word of hope, this word about God's coming future, a powerful vision of what God promises God's people. And what I like about the vision is that it's not a human vision. It's not a vision that comes from any human being. It's not a vision that the prophet gives of his own perspective or his own point of view. It's the vision that God's self has given his people. It is God's vision for the whole world. In church circles, we often like to talk a lot about vision, especially in Presbyterian churches, and for good reason. The Bible tells us that without vision, people perish, because visions are about hope, and people need hope. The problem is, of course, that the visions that we offer up are often far from satisfying. The visions that we offer up are often too small. They are too puny, not able to meet that desire deep down inside of us. But the good thing about being part of God's people is that we don't have to try to come up with our own vision, because God has given us God's own vision, a vision of newness, a vision of new creation. And that's what the Lord tells his people in our reading this morning, and that is what the Lord offers to us as well. A new vision, a vision of hope, a hope of God's promised future. We've said this before, but it bears repeating, in part because I think that we Christians often drop the ball when it comes to realizing this. Often when we talk about hope, Christian hope, we seem to suggest that it's something that happens after we die. You know, when we die, our souls go to heaven, and that is our hope, and that's okay as far as it goes. But Christian hope, biblical hope, is never just about what happens to us after we die. Biblical hope is never just about our souls going to be with God sometime after we are buried, but biblical hope is always grounded in God's commitment. It's always grounded in God's promise to transform and renew this old world that God created and loves, but that we human beings have made a mess of. And that's what God promises in our text this morning. The word of the prophet is, "Behold, I am creating a new heaven. I am creating a new earth." Not new in the sense that God is going to throw this old world away and start over again. I know that's a fantasy that some people entertain, that God is going to throw this old world away. But the promise this morning is that God is going to do away with everything that makes the world such a hellish place for us to live. Listen to God's newness this morning. In God's new creation, God says there be no more. There be no more tears, no more weeping, no more distress. We live in a world where there are many, many tears. I saw on the TV just the other day a woman crying and weeping and in despair over someone that she loved dearly who had succumbed to an act of random violence. Tears and weeping is a normal, everyday part of our world. But in God's new creation, there won't be any more of that. No more tears, no more weeping, no more distress. In God's new creation, there won't be any time when infants die in just a few days. No more infant mortality, no more mothers weeping. There be no more. No more of that. In God's new creation, there be no more people dying before their days are lived to the fullest. You know, in the ancient world, if you lived to 30, you were doing pretty good. But God says in God's coming future, there be no more dying prematurely. There be no more of that. Indeed, in God's new creation, death will be swallowed up forever. In God's new creation, there be no homelessness. There be no boarded up houses or windows. There be no neighborhoods that are discarded. But everyone will have what they need to live and to flourish. But here's the one that impresses me. In God's new creation, we are told that there will be no more predation, no more predators. We are told that nature itself will be transformed. No more predators, no more predatory lending, no more cutthroat competition, no more exploiting workers or laborers, no more crime, no more using people as a means toward our own ends. No more of any of that. No more predatory behavior at all. Not because there won't be any wolves or bears or lions or human beings in God's new creation, but because they'll be totally transformed. No one will prey on anyone. No one will use anyone. There'll be no more of that. All will live in harmony and peace. I confess this morning that whenever I read this vision, I'm a little challenged by it. Whenever I read this passage, I get a little bit impatient, asking, you know, when, Lord? What's taking so long? After all, these words were written 2,700 years ago, and we are still waiting for God's coming future. We are still waiting for this idyllic vision. We are still waiting. Why is it taking so long? When are you going to bring your future to fruition, Lord? There are people who are still crying. Can you hear the crying? There are people who are still being exploited. Can't you see the exploitation? When are you going to act, Lord? When are you going to move? When are you going to bring your future to bear in the midst of our world? Forget wolves and lambs lying together, given the current fear and division and polarization in our society. I'll just settle for people of different political persuasions, people of different social positions, just to be able to sit down together at the same table and talk civilly to one another. When, God, can we expect your future to break in to the midst of our world? I find myself crying with the same prophet Isaiah, who says earlier in his book, when, Lord, when are you going to tear open the heavens and come down? I'm tired of the world and the way that it is. Tired of hearing soldiers marching in faraway places. Tired of seeing people mistreated because they are simply different. Tired that there are people who suffer only because they don't have enough to take care of their needs. Tired of the world the way that it is. But the thing that bolsters my hope this morning is the reminder that you and I are already a part of God's new creation. We became that when we were baptized. When we were baptized, we became new creation people. When we were baptized, we became people of God's coming future. whatever we might have been before. We have died to all of that, and we are now new creation people. That's what Jesus says, calls us to be in the midst of this world, even in the midst of wars and rumors of wars, even when things seem to be going helter-skelter. You and I are called to testify. We are called to bear witness to God's coming future. We are called to be the new creation people that God has called us to be. It doesn't happen all at once to us. The Holy Spirit is moving and operating in our hearts. The Holy Spirit is moving and operating in the midst of our communities. The Holy Spirit is moving and operating here in Olney Presbyterian Church, helping us to be that new creation people that God has called us to be. God has already broken into this world in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. God has already showed us in the Lord Jesus Christ what God's future is going to be. God has already undertaken to redeem this world in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And as his followers, as his people, God is already redeeming the world, transforming the world into that place of peace and compassion and justice that is indicative of God's coming future. I love the fact that the Lord says through the prophet that I am creating. I am creating a whole new world. I know the NRSV uses the verbal form of create, says I create, but it could be read too as I am creating. I am creating a whole new world, creating a whole new heaven and a whole new world. I am creating. God is currently creating within this world, this old world, a whole new world. And you and I are called to participate in that creating. We are co-participants in what God is doing in the midst of this world. And one of the ways you can tell who God's new creation people are is that they are people of joy. Their communities are communities of joy. Joy and peace, just like Olney Presbyterian Church. Communities of joy. You know, there's a difference between anticipation and impatience. I admit that sometimes I get a little impatient. And when you get impatient, you start trying to do things on your own. You start trying to take the bull by the horn. You start trying to make the future that you want to see. And often the way we do that is destructive and hurtful to others. But whenever we anticipate something, we live into it, we anticipate it, we rest assured that God's future is coming. And therefore we are called to participate in it by being communities of love and grace and peace and joy that God desires. And that's what God's people are called to be. We are called to be those communities of grace and joy that are reflective of God's coming future. We're reminded this morning that we are a part of that new creation. That we rejoice because we are called to be active participants with God in this great act of new creation that God is engaged in. Creation that is filled with joy, that is filled with delight, that is filled with justice and love. Creation that is filled with fruitfulness. New creation that is coming into being every time we faithfully live out what it means to be God's people. Every time we are faithful in doing God's work in our own context. Every time we faithfully feed the hungry. Every time we faithfully clothe the naked. Every time we extend ourselves in the midst of this community. Every time we shine God's light in the midst of our world, we are engaging in that act of new creation. And that's what makes this place this morning holy ground. Holy ground as we seek to live into God's coming kingdom. And so as we conclude another year, and as we lean forward into the next year, let us remember not to despair over what we might see going on around us. Let us not despair of wars and rumors of wars. Let us not despair over the political dysfunction that we might see. Let us not despair over much of what is going on in the world. But remember who you and I are called to be. Remember who we are. We are a part of the new creation, agents of God's transformation in the midst of the world. And when we can continue to live into that, we'll be faithfully executing God's coming future in the midst of our hearts and in the midst of our communities. Let us pray. Lord, you have called us all this morning to be a part of what you are doing in the world. You've called us to be agents in your reclamation project of renewing this world, of making it a place of peace and love, of making it a place of beauty and justice, of making it a place where lions and lambs and oxes and human beings of various persuasions and differences can come together on your holy mountain and not hurt anyone, but rejoice in knowing that you are the God of life, that you are the God who's already undertaken to redeem this world that we have made a mess of. Empower us with your Holy Spirit to continue to be that new creation people that we became in our baptisms, and continue to transform our hearts so that we might be faithful and true to you and your coming future. And we ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen.